I wonder if you ever think or sound like any of these people. Here's the first one. I don't like playing card games. I hate it that my sister and younger brother are better at them than me. I don't like losing. I'd much rather play a game I'm good at and can beat them at, like Monopoly. Or, here's a homework discussion. The girl's sitting at the table with a pencil in her hand and the mum's leaning over her shoulder looking at the exercise book. Darling, your answer's wrong. Let me show you what I think you're doing. Girl tightens her jaw. Do you see? Girl shakes her head. Here's the way to come at this question, shows the girl, who's sitting there shaking her head. No, Mum, that's not the way we were shown how to do it at school. We have to do it this way. I can't be wrong. I've done everything I was told to. I don't understand. I must be right. Or, I can't believe he didn't pass it to me. I was right there waiting and he never passed. That's so annoying. We'd have scored if he'd passed it. He's so rubbish. I wish he wasn't on my team. I hate this game. I never get the ball when I should. People should pass to me more. I'm better than they are. If you don't like losing, if you don't like being corrected, and if you think you're better than other people, then you probably have a deadly disease. It's very common, but hundreds of millions of people all around the world die of this disease every year. It's a disease where it's very hard to see the symptoms in yourself. Other people can see them, but you won't easily believe them if they tell you you have it. It's like having a spot on your forehead. Other people can see it, but you can't. Your eyes can't look back at yourself like that. You need a mirror to help you see. But there is one person in the world who's very keen to spread this disease. Do you know about him? And of course, the last thing he wants is anyone realizing that they've got it. You see, if you don't think you're sick, you're not going to bother to go to the doctor. And the person who wants this disease to spread is the devil. He is real, he is active, and he is a liar. He's very good at his job. And what he wants to do first is to stop us realizing we're sick. So if you don't think that you're like any of those three people I showed you at the beginning, don't want to play unless I can win, don't like being corrected, I'm better than everyone else. If you don't think you're like that, well, that's probably because the devil's winning. It's my job to do this, to hold up a mirror to show you what you're like. Now, not just on the surface, I'm going to try and show you what you're like underneath, okay? And I'm not just going to hold up a mirror, I'm going to get an arrow and point the way you should go, okay? So that's my job, to hold up a mirror to show you what you're like and to get an arrow to point the way you should go. You can tell me if it's working at the end. All right, here we go. It is a fierce fight we're in. The devil is a liar, and he'll try and persuade you you haven't got this disease, so we need God's help. And the best way to get God's help is to pray for it. So will you, with me, pray for God's help right now so that you'll see what you're really like? Let's pray. Please, God, open our eyes and ears to see and hear what we are really like and why. Please stop the devil making us believe we are fine. Please help us to accept Jesus' help. And we pray for your work in us as we look at the Bible and see ourselves more clearly. Amen. Okay, so what is the disease we've got? We've got pride. Some have got it worse than others, but even a little bit of this disease is deadly. It's got to be treated. If you don't like losing so much, you won't play games you can't win. If you don't like people telling you you haven't got something wrong. If you don't like being told off. If you think you're better than other people, then you have got pride. Or you're a proud person. A proud person doesn't like being given help at things he thinks he can do by himself. A proud person sometimes likes to tell others what he's thinking, but he doesn't like listening to other people. A proud child thinks his parents and most other grown-ups are stupid. A proud person doesn't like having to listen to anyone telling them things, and it annoys them when other people know things more than them. Those are some of the symptoms of pride. and they're serious. Well, the first reason is that pride damages relationships. It hurts friendships. We all need to get on with each other. We like having friends and being a friend, but pride gets in the way. Okay, think about a friendship for a minute. If you were going to organize a play date for someone to come round to your house, and you're going to say, "Mum, please can you organize for somebody to come round to my house?" And you've got a choice of two friends. And one person likes talking about themselves all the time, and they only do what he or she wants to do. Or the other person, well, there's somebody who's interested in you, who doesn't think he's better than you, and who wants to hear things that you have to say. Are you going to invite the first person or the second person? Maxwell. The second person. And the first person's not going to be invited. And that's going to make him worse, because he's going to think, why didn't he invite me? I'm better than anyone else. And that just shows you how proud he is. And he's going to end up lonely. Pride makes people lonely. So that's the easiest reason to see that pride is a problem. It hurts our friendships. Proud people end up lonely. But there's something else going on. There's something else that a proud person is not, someone else who a proud person is not friends with. And not being friends with this person is where the real problem is. The proud person is not friends with God. And when someone is not friends with God, they are enemies with God. There's no in between. You see, God wants us to be his friends, but if we choose to stay the way we are, we're his enemies. And to have God as your enemy is bad news. You see, God is fair and powerful, and he is a perfect referee. And when God blows the whistle, that's it. There's no more chances. God is fair. And when he blows the whistle, everyone looks to see which way he's pointing. You see, God's friends will be sent to heaven, and God's enemies will be sent to hell. That's what the Bible says. When God blows the whistle, you want to be one of his friends, don't you? To be friends with God is something very important. We need to see God has explained the rules. He's told people how to live, and it's no good saying, "I don't like your rules," or "I want to play my game instead." That'll make you an enemy with God. We're going to look at two brilliant stories now. They both do two things. These stories hold up a mirror to show what you're like, and they point the way like an arrow. The first story, if you'd like to look it up, is in Luke chapter 18, page 740. Grown-ups, you can follow it. I'm going to tell it for children. Luke chapter 18, page 740, starting at verse 9. Jesus saw the symptoms of pride in people, and he said, "Right, I'm going to tell you a story to show you that you've got a problem." There's a mirror. Ooh, there's an arrow. Right. Two people went to church one day. The first was called John. And he came from a nice home where his mum and dad were Christians. And his mum and dad read him Bible stories quite a lot. And they helped him to say thank you before they had meals. They said grace. He knew it was wrong to say rude words. And it was right to try and be nice to other people. So when they went to church, John thought he was a good person. Because of all the things he did. He thought God would look at him and say, "Well done, John, you're good." And he liked that. He thought he was good. And he arrived in church smiling. And when he came to church, he always sat near the front. He was looking smart and he liked church because he could feel good at church. And when the music started, he used to stand up and sing the words on the screen with everyone else. And when it was prayers time, he closed his eyes and he put his hands together. And he prayed, just like any other Sunday. But then he noticed he hadn't seen someone come in. But there was someone sitting at the back called Jack. Now, Jack looked about John's age, and he came in very quietly, and he was sitting at the back. He wasn't in smart clothes, and he looked like he wasn't sure he wanted to be there. Jack saw John at the front and tried to hide. because John was one of the boys that Jack had bullied at school that week. Jack was a bully. When the music started, Jack wasn't sure what to do. He could read the words, but he didn't feel he could sing them. And when people prayed, he didn't feel he could say amen. Why not? Because he knew he was naughty and disobedient and rude and unkind a lot. He knew he had done things God didn't like and that he felt really bad about. And he didn't want to pretend in church. So when Jesus tells the story, you get to hear the two boys praying. Listen to their prayers. John, the one at the front, he was confident when he prayed. He said, "Thank you, God, that I'm good. Thank you that I do good things and I go to church and I don't swear. Thank you that I'm good at football and I've got a nice house. And thank you that I'm not like that nasty boy Jack at the back who's a bully." Now Jack, who was sitting at the back, said a prayer and it was very short. Jack's prayer was very short. He said, with his hands over his face, because he'd begun to cry, he said, "I'm sorry, God. I'm a bad person. Please, will you forgive me?" And that's the end of the story. But Jesus said something to finish it off. Jesus said that only one of those two boys was God's friend. Jesus said, when God blows the whistle, only one of those two boys is going to go to heaven. And it wasn't the one who looked all smart on the outside. It wasn't the one who thought he was all right. You see, John was proud. And Jesus told the story to proud people to help them see that they were proud. The one who went home friends with God was Jack. Jack was the opposite of proud. He was humble. He admitted he couldn't be God's friend by trying hard. No one can. He knew he needed God's help to forgive him and give him a fresh start. So do you see? Jesus was holding up the mirror to help people see the difference between pride and humility. Here's a verse. He was holding up the mirror and he was saying, if you're proud, God will mock you. He will actually say that's not allowed. He will blow the whistle and he will send you where you cannot see him ever again. But he also points the way. He says if you're humble, like Jack at the back, and you say, sorry, God, I'm not good and I don't deserve to go to heaven, well, then he gives grace. God gives grace to the humble. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. God mocks the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's a great story. Now there's another story. The second story is about a great king, and it comes in Daniel chapter 4. Some of you may know the story. It's about a great king called Nebuchadnezzar. Can you all say that name? Nebuchadnezzar. It's a good name. Although I don't recommend you call your children that name. They'd be teased at school, I think. Nebuchadnezzar was very powerful and very rich, and he lived in a palace and he had a city built with amazing gardens. And some of his gardens were as big as the Olympic Stadium. His gardens were so big. It was called Babylon. And sometimes he'd like to go onto the roof of his palace and look over the city and say, haven't I done well? Haven't I built a nice empire? And aren't I great? People will look at it and say, well done, Neb. You're amazing. And he was doing exactly that one day when God humbled him. God blew his whistle. About a year earlier, you see, Nebuchadnezzar had a horrible night's sleep. He had a dream. And it was a dream. And when he woke up, he remembered it. Do you have dreams like that? If it's a really good dream or vivid dream, if you remember it quickly enough and tell someone, then you can remember it. But if you don't, you forget it very quickly. Anyway, he remembered his dream. And it was a frightening dream. And he told some people about it. And he said, I need to know what this dream means. He got the cleverest people together in his kingdom to try and tell him what it meant. And this is what he said. Daniel chapter 4 verse 10. I was lying in my bed. I looked and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. I've got a tree. I found a tree in a National Geographic recently. Has anybody seen this tree? Check that out for a tree. That is a big tree. Can you see the person at the bottom of it? Down here. Nebuchadnezzar saw a tree as big as this in his dream. There's a person at the bottom of it down there. It was so huge, it towered over the land. It was very impressive. And there were loads of birds and animals and beasties in it. In fact, they found all these in this tree. Anyway, he saw an enormous tree. I've got another picture of a tree. Here's a cool picture of a tree. There. How about that? That's a tree that's so big you can only see the bottom of it, and they cut a hole in it so big that you could drive a car through it. Do you like that tree? Nebuchadnezzar saw a tree that was huge in his dream. In the vision I saw while I was lying in my bed, I looked and there was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. There's this big tree, and suddenly he had a messenger coming down from heaven, like a postman, who had a message for him. He called out in a loud voice, cut down the tree, chainsaw off its branches, strip its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the animals run away and the birds run away, but let the stump and its roots remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals. Let his mind be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass him by. This decision is announced so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign. Now, happily, God gave Daniel an understanding of what that dream meant. And he said, imagine saying this to the king. He said, that tree, O king, is you. You have become great and strong and powerful. But the messenger you hear saying, cut down the tree, is a message for you. You are going to be brought low. You will not be able to be king anymore because you will go mad for a time. You'll start crawling around on your hands and knees like an animal. You won't want to live indoors, you'll want to live in a field. You won't be able to speak, and it will last for 7 years, and everyone will laugh at you. And it'll take you 7 years to realize that God is king, not you. Good news is the tree will still have a stump in the ground, and when you realize that God is in charge and not you, well, then you'll begin to grow again. Now, the king forgot that dream, but a year later he was standing on top of his palace, looking out all his gardens and saying, aren't I great? And God made him fall to the ground and did something to his head, and he went mad. And he had to be put in a field, and he grew a beard and long hair and long fingernails, and nobody could talk to him, and he couldn't speak. He went mad. This great king was brought down very low. God had blown his whistle. The proud man had been brought low. Well, what was the end of the story? Well, eventually, Nebuchadnezzar admitted God was in charge and that he was nothing very much at all, and God gave him back his life. You see, God had held up a mirror to him to show him what he was really like, and he had got an arrow to show him the way to go. Now, can you hear today? I've been holding up a mirror to all of us and to me. Oh, dear. I've got something on my head. Now, with a mirror, I can see what I've got on my head. Now, when God holds up the Bible, I hope you can see that you are proud. And God is blowing the whistle
on your pride. And he's showing you the way to go. And that is to say sorry and ask for his forgiveness so that he might welcome you in. That is what it means to be the opposite of proud. That is what it means to be humble. God mocks proud mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, grown-ups, I'd like you to talk to your youngsters just for the next couple of minutes, or the person sitting next to you, and say, what are you going to do if that's true, what I've got on the board there? And if God has held up a mirror, what would be a good thing to do this week? To say, sorry, God, I'm bad, please forgive me, like Jack, or to be like Nebuchadnezzar, who needed to be brought down and chopped down. See if you can spot other symptoms of pride in yourself. Do you remember the first three I gave you? You don't like playing games because you don't like losing. You don't like being corrected. And you think everybody's worse than you. Can you think of any other symptoms of pride? And if you've got those ones, you can tell your mum and dad you've got those. Just for a few minutes, talk to the people around you about pride.